RadioArchives.com presents The Murder Brain, the 31st adventure of Secret Agent X, by G.T. Fleming Roberts, writing as Brant House, read by Milton Bagby. His true face unknown, his identity buried in a secret government file, Secret Agent X came back from the dead to take on the evil extortionist and sinister sadist who prey on innocent Americans. A master of disguise who carries a non-lethal gas gun, X the Unknown is backed by a cabal of wealthy citizens and is answerable only to the shadowy K-9. Operating out of the supposedly haunted Montgomery Mansion, Secret Agent X ventures forth in a bewildering array of false identities to infiltrate the darkest underbelly of the underworld and destroy it from within. The only clue to his true identity is his haunting whistle. And now, Secret Agent X's thrilling adventure, The Murder Brain. Chapter 1. Murder Epidemic. It wasn't a pleasant room. A filmy light globe, wired into an old brass gas fixture, lent a nauseous shade to the blue calcimined walls. An iron bedstead shone enamel as a birch tree does its bark. There was a telephone on a table of woven fiber. At the table, a man faced the wall, oblivious to its ugliness. He pulled the phone up under his jutting chin and called Rector 2-3520 in a voice that was crisply impatient. Three fingers of his right hand tap-danced on the tabletop. Foley Square and the United States Courthouse were 30 long seconds away, even for a man with the magic of the telephone at his command.
"Jackson speaking," said the man in the dingy room at last. "I must speak to Special Agent Weston immediately."
He finger-danced some more, squirmed restlessly in the hard-bottomed chair. Then his voice lashed out at the transmitter.
"Jackson to report. I leave immediately for Bedford Street to meet Agent Parker at the corner of Commerce. Another White Cross killing has been scheduled."
G-Man Henry Jackson clamped the receiver to its hook and pushed the phone away from him. As he did so, the polished metal shell of the transmitter caught a black and particularly ominous reflection. The reflection was that of a man. Either the nickel shell of the phone was distorting the image a great deal, or this man was about as large a specimen as Jackson had ever encountered. Enormous square shoulders seemed on the point of pushing through his black coat. He wore no hat. Only his unruly black hair prevented his head from being a complete cube. His jaw resembled the foremost portion of a steam shovel. The stem of a square-bowled pipe parted the level line of his lips. The rest of his face was hidden by a black mask. It was remarkable how perfectly relaxed G-Man Jackson appeared to be. It was even more remarkable how quickly his lax fingers snatched up at his underarm gun. But he was just not quick enough. The cube-headed man was standing exactly in the center of the door behind Jackson. He had not stirred a muscle, but someone else had, and Jackson had never in his life encountered anything like the muscles of the slender hand and arm that shot over his shoulder to seize his gun wrist. Jackson shook his head, a habit he had when he found himself in a bad spot. Two men had slipped into the room while he had been phoning. The masked man, who looked as though he had been constructed with the aid of a steel square, and this slighter person whose body seemed a curious combination of the irresistible force and the immovable object. No small part of this second intruder's power lay in the depths of his gray eyes. His eyes didn't stare. They anchored the G-Man's attention to such an extent that several seconds clicked by before Jackson noticed that the man's face consisted of something besides eyes. It took the G-Man just a little off balance, that face of the man with the gray eyes. The cheeks looked hollow and pale. The chin receded slightly. The thin lips spoke only with their corners.
"Nix on the Roscoe, G-Man."
The black masked man loomed larger in the nickel shell of the phone. His square-ended fingers went inside the G-Man's coat, produced the gun Jackson would have given a year of his life to reach. Then the gray-eyed one's grip relaxed, and Jackson turned slowly to face his two unwelcomed visitors. The gray-eyed man held a gun that closely resembled a heavy automatic. The masked man had carelessly tossed the G-Man's gun aside. There was nothing formidable about the mask.